23. Dickheads. Leaving Neil's yard in the Pilates studio, she tries to become just another lost tourist, though she knows she'll never be one. Like Magda, going out to spread whatever shabby micro-meme her Blue Ant subsidiary requires her to, Case knows that she is, and has long been, complicit. Though in what, exactly, is harder to say. Complicit in whatever it is that gradually makes London and New York feel more like each other, that dissolves the membranes between mirror worlds. She knows too much about the processes responsible for the way product is positioned in the world, and sometimes she finds herself doubting that there is much else going on. But this is a mood, she tells herself, a bad one in its low-key way, dealt by soul delay. Somewhere, that lagging part of her is being wound in, and her job here is simply to walk, to be in London and let her body know that she is here. The rain has stopped, but drops still fall from ledges and awnings, beating on the nylon of her new Rixons. Absently, she reaches to touch the place where the tape should be, but it isn't there. No hole. History erased via the substitution of an identical object. Just now, she wishes lives could be replaced as easily, but knows that that isn't right. However odd things seem, mustn't it be to exactly that extent of oddness that a life is one's own, and no one else's? Hers has never been without its share of oddness, but something in its recent texture seems to belong to someone else. She's never lived her life in such a way as to generate sliding doors and secret passages, the hallmarks, she believes, of some basis in bullshit, of an underlying lack of honesty that she doesn't believe has been hers. She hasn't ever previously been a person to be burgled, followed, assaulted with intent to rob. All the time she's spent in the world's various streets, scouting cool for the commodifiers, these things haven't happened. Why now? What has she done wrong? Or is it, she considers, simply that the world had gone in such a different direction, in the instant of having seen that petal drop, that nothing really is the same now, and that her expectations of the parameters of how life should feel are simply that, expectations, and increasingly out of line the further she gets from that window in the Soho Grand. Pausing now to stare through a sheet of glass at a duffer of St. George anorak, weirdness of serotonin lack coursing through her, she suddenly shivers, remembering the hard grip of the man in Roppongi, the one who'd come from behind. She hasn't really felt the fear in that before now, and now it comes up from her core, a cold thing and hard. He took a duck in the face. Well, the other had, really, took Case herself in the face at however many sudden knots. Food, in the prolonged absence of craziness. She moves along until she finds a sandwich shop, small and pre-globalized, but also rather smart, as she's in St. Martin's Lane by now. She gets egg salad on a narrow baguette, a cup of filter coffee, and carries them to a small table by the window where she sits, looking out into the street and eating her sandwich.